Today on the Pastor's Study, we're going to begin a new series of studies entitled The Seven Mysteries. The Seven Mysteries, amen? And of course, there are in the scriptures, there are seven mysteries of God. The first one we want to begin with today is and ask the question, what is the mystery of godliness? What is the mystery of godliness? And of course, the answer to that is, it is the deity of Jesus Christ. And that's what we'll be talking about today on the Pastor's Study. In the Bible, ministers of Christ are to be stewards of the mysteries of God. Look with me, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 4, in verse number 1. We read in the scriptures, "Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." Now, these were mysteries because these doctrines were not revealed until the Lord revealed them to the Apostle Paul. And there are seven of them. So in the next 7 weeks, we will deal with each one of these mysteries. And of course, the first one is the mystery of godliness, which is found in 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse 16. 1 Timothy chapter 3 in verse number 16. "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So we see the mystery of godliness says that God was manifest in the flesh. And of course, God was manifest in the flesh, and of course that was Jesus Christ, amen? Let's see what Jesus said over there in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John with me in chapter 12, in verse 45. John 12, verse number 45. Jesus said, "And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me." And of course, it was God the Father who sent God the Son, amen, to this earth. So, he was not lying, amen, when Jesus said this, because he was God in the flesh, was he not? That's right. He was God in the flesh. In fact, we're told over in the book of Acts, if you'll turn there with me for just a moment, Acts chapter 20. In Acts chapter 20, Paul is giving his farewell. The Apostle Paul is giving a farewell address to the elders or the pastors at Ephesus. He has them all gathered there. And notice what he says to them in Acts chapter 20, in verse 28. He says, "Take heed." He's warning them. Paul's warning them. He says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, into all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God." Now notice what he says, "which," referring to the church of God, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." So we see then the church was purchased with God's own blood. Jesus was a supreme sacrifice, amen? He was God's son. He was God manifest in the flesh. He had God's blood, amen? And God's blood purchased the church. We also see that Jesus said the same thing to Philip in John chapter 14, as we just read in John 12, verse 45. Let's go to John chapter 14. We just read how Jesus said, "He that seeth me seeth him that sent me." And he tells Philip in John 14:9, Jesus saith unto them, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how saith thou then, shew us the Father?" Now, if Jesus Christ was really God while he was here on the earth, there should be other scriptural evidence to this fact. And indeed there is. We need to turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 1, in verse 1. John 1, 1. Here's a great chapter, proof text on the deity of Christ. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Well, who is the Word? Let's drop down to John chapter 1. Let's drop down to verse 14 and see who the Word is. "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So according to John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word had to be Jesus Christ. He was made flesh. And John said that he dwelt among us, and that he was the only begotten of the Father. Furthermore, John says of the Word in his first epistle that he had heard him, had seen him, and had handled him with his hands. Let's turn to the first epistle of John. The first epistle of John with me, please. First epistle of John in chapter 1 and verse number 1. We read in the scriptures, "That which was from the beginning." Jesus has always existed, amen. "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life." See, John leaves no doubt that the Word is in fact the true God, and not some lesser God, or some man upon whom the Spirit of God came after his birth. Just look at what the Word of God says in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7. "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father," in heaven. See, there are three that bear record in heaven. And he lists them. The Father. So there's God the Father. The Word. We've already seen that the Word is Jesus Christ, God the Son. And then the Holy Ghost, God the Holy Spirit. These three are one. Amen. One God in three persons. Now, what could be clearer than that? Well, The problem is this. If you have one of the modern Bibles, you do not have this verse. Furthermore, if you have a New American Standard Version, your Bible says that Jesus was a begotten God. And of course, in the Authorized 1611 King James Bible, which is God's preserved, inspired, inerrant, amen, word, we see what it says. John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, rather, chapter 1 and verse 18. John chapter 1, verse 18, we read, it says, "No man hath seen God at any time, the only begotten, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him." But we see if you have a New American Standard Version, it'll say that Jesus was a begotten God, not God. Amen. And what you have are here are blatant attacks on the deity of Jesus Christ. Amen. When they take out 1 John 5:7, or they change John chapter 1, verse 18 around. These are blatant attacks on the deity of Jesus Christ. And so that's why it's very important to take a stand on the scriptures. And when I mean the scriptures, of course, some of the so-called scholars out there will say we don't have a scripture of the scriptures today because the inspired word of God was only found in the original autographs. Well, that's a bunch of bunk, because God was not only able to inspire but also to preserve his word. And he's preserved his word for us today in the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible. If you're looking for God's inspired, inerrant, amen, infallible, preserved words, they're preserved right there, right here, in the King James Bible. So if you don't have a copy of God's Word, if you have one of these other modern versions, amen, then you don't have the Word of God. The Word of God is found exclusively in this AV 1611 King James Bible. And it's very important to take a stand on the Word of God. There are some ministries, they don't care. But this old preacher cares. I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, the Bible that I'm reading from right now is God's preserved, inspired, infallible, inerrant words. Now, getting back to our mystery here of God, what is the mystery of godliness, God manifests in the flesh, amen. Following the resurrection of Jesus Christ, he appeared to his disciples several times. Now, some teachers would have you to believe that his resurrection was merely spiritual and not physical. However, this is not true. For when Christ arose, he arose bodily. Let's look at Luke chapter 24 together. In Luke chapter 24, in verse number 39, Jesus here, this is after the resurrection, he says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and blood as you see me have." So here we see Christ appears to his disciples and he says, "Behold, look at my hands. Look at them. Look at the where they stuck the nails, amen. and so forth and so on. Handle me, touch me, look at my feet. Look at where they stuck the nail in my feet. He said, handle me, touch me. I'm not a spirit. I have flesh and bone. So we see here that Christ arose bodily. Amen? Now, when Jesus appeared to Thomas, and we need to go to John chapter 20 for that in just a moment, he appeared in a physical body with the scars in his hands and his feet and his side. There was a time where Jesus appeared to the disciples. Thomas wasn't there. They told him, and he said to them, I'm not going to believe until I actually see the wounds. Well, Jesus appeared to the disciples when Thomas was there. Now notice, verse 24, beginning in verse 24 there in John chapter 20. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto them, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and he stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And I'm sure at this point Thomas's jaw must have dropped, amen? With his mouth wide open. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. I believe he saw the Lord. I don't think he even put his hands into the nail prints or into the Lord's side. And in verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet have believed. Amen. And I believe that blessing is for all of you there that have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, have received him by faith into your heart, believing that he died. He died for your sins, was buried, and rose again the third day. So, we see when Thomas saw him, he believed, and he said, My Lord and my God. And notice that Thomas, who had been a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, did not hesitate to call him God when he saw him. And of course, that would have been blasphemy if it had not been true. Let's turn to John chapter 10, in verse 33. The Jews answered him, saying, this is the Jews answered Jesus. The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. So, it was considered blasphemy, amen, for someone to say that they were God when they were not. And of course, Jesus indicated this, that he was God, and that's what they were saying. We're not stoning you for the miracles and things that you did, and the feeding of the people and so forth, and the miracles and so forth and so on. No, because you being a man, they weren't convinced that Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, that he was just a man. And they said he was accused of blasphemy, amen, because he maketh himself God, and he was God. So it wasn't blasphemy. So when Thomas saw the Lord and he said, "My Lord and my God," amen, he didn't hesitate to call him God when he saw him. According to the Jews, he was blaspheming. But he wasn't, because Jesus was God. Now, the bottom line on this doctrine then is that Jesus Christ is God, has always been God, and will always be God. See? To believe that he is anything else other than the true God is to believe a lie. Look how the Apostle John concludes his first epistle there, in 1 John chapter 5. In verse 20. "And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life." He leaves no doubt. Amen. John here, as he closes his epistle, his first epistle, that Jesus is the true God, amen. And of course, we have a cult known as the Jehovah's Witnesses that believe that Jesus was a God. He is not God, amen, as the Christian faith believes, that Jesus has always existed. He's always been there. In the beginning was the Word. Amen. That's how John begins his gospel. John 1:1, we read it in the study today, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus has always existed. He is the Creator. Amen. Look at what it says in Colossians with me. We read in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. "For by him were all things created." And in the context, it's talking about Jesus, God the Son. "For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him." Amen. And all through the gospel accounts, amen, Jesus claimed to be God. Jesus Christ is Jehovah God of the Old Testament. Amen. Look at what Jesus said in John chapter 10 with me. John chapter 10. These are very important verses on the deity of Christ. Amen. We're told to contend for the faith. These are verses that we need to use to show people that Jesus Christ is indeed God. Amen. Has always been God and will always be God. He says, you know, these great verses here in the Gospel of John chapter 10 on eternal security. He says in verse 28, John chapter 10, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand." Here it is in verse 30. Jesus says, "I and my Father are one." Amen. Show that to a Jehovah's Witness, and I have, and they'll try to twist it around. Well, that's not what it means. Take the scriptures literal when you can, amen. Isn't that right? Look at what Paul said about Jesus. In the book of Philippians with me. Philippians. Chapter 2. Beginning in verse 5. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Do you see that? He was God manifest in the flesh, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's what he said. He and the Father were one. He was equal to the Father. We read here, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Thank God that he did that. Thank God that he did take upon the form of a man, the form of a servant, amen. And he was made in the likeness of man. "And being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross," amen. That's how far he went. That's how, they say, how low can you go? He went all the way down, amen, so that you and I could go all the way up, praise the Lord. "Wherefore God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Either you confess him now, amen, voluntarily receive him as your personal Savior, or you're going to, amen, you're going to confess him later when it's too late, amen, when you stand before him in judgment. The first mystery we've been looking at today on the pastor's study is God manifest in the flesh. Amen. God manifests in the flesh. What is the mystery of godliness? The deity of Jesus Christ. Can't figure it out. That was God. That was God that the Virgin Mary, amen, she was a virgin, amen. And then after Jesus was born, she had other children, amen. But that was God that played upon her knee, who she cared for, amen. It's a mystery. So we see then, as we conclude our study today, as we begin a series of studies on the seven mysteries of God in the Scriptures, what is the mystery of godliness? We've seen very clearly it's the deity of Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh.